Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356, or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
Chris and the guys at Greenview Construction LLC are a firm offering professional services in design and, of course, construction. And they are proud to announce that they've completed design and 3D renderings for two spec home models located in the Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens area, sitting on over 1 acre lots. Now, they've got four lots available for these model homes. The first is a British West Indies model style, totaling just over 4,500 square foot, air-conditioned space, five bedrooms, five bathrooms, and they boast 16-foot ceilings in some areas. The second, more traditional style home, 3,100 square foot, air-conditioned space, four bedrooms and four baths. They boast 14-foot ceilings in some areas. Both models will have a free-flowing layouts that connect the kitchen, the family room, living room, library, a den, and outdoor lanai. And both models will have an option to add a detached in-law suite if you really want the in-laws to move in, and a garage, totaling an additional 1,000 square foot. You can visit Chris and the team online at www.greenviewconstruction.com. You can email Chris Tyson, that's C-Tyson, as in Mike Tyson, C-Tyson, at greenviewconstruction.com. Or you can call 561-727-5013. They're also on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Just look for Greenview Construction. And if that wasn't enough, they have an appointment-only showroom at 715 Commerce Way West, Suite 14 in Jupiter, Florida.
This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick two, three, or four players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick two or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and after many technical difficulties, we're on the air, Chris.
I think we are.
I'm looking at my the little telltale sign, and it's red, and it says recording. So I think this thing is on. I think it's working. Now, will it get out to you, our dear listener? We don't know. Maybe.
Sure.
Okay. I've never been at the helm of a nuclear submarine, but I think this is what it feels like when, like, you don't know what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as always, we are brought to you by Manscaped. Use 5RSN and get 20% off your entire order. And guess what? Not only do you get 20% off your entire order, now you get free shipping, people. So it's 20% off your entire order and free shipping. Get the 4.0 performance package. This is their new campaign. You get the lawnmower 4.0. Get a piece of paper, Chris, and start writing all this down. You ready?
Okay.
You're going to get the 4.0 performance package, all right? That's, yep. You get the lawnmower 4.0 with the LED light, the aerodynamic design, and the aerodynamic design is extremely important, by the way. You get the Weed Whacker ear and nose trimmer. Okay, are you getting this so far?
All right, Lawnmower 4.0. Weed Whacker?
Yeah, you get the Weed Whacker ear and nose trimmer. Okay.
We get the Weed Whacker. Okay.
Yeah. All right. You get the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. All right.
Crop Preserver. That's an interesting name for it. But that's it. Okay. Yeah. Crop Preserver.
You get the Crop Reviver Ball Toner. If you notice, I'm still talking.
Crop Reviver. Okay.
You're getting a lot of stuff here, right? You get the Magic Mats, which are disposable shaving mats. Are you listening to this? Yeah, you're still getting stuff. You notice it, right?
Shaving mats?
Yes.
All right.
Well, you're not going to just drop your pubes on the floor, are you? Okay. You get the travel bag. By the way, I own this travel bag. I went to Las Vegas with this travel bag. I went to Tampa with this travel bag. This travel bag is beautiful. Okay. It's leather.
I love the travel bag.
Okay. You have one, right?
I have one. Yeah.
Yes. And so does Simon, by the way. And by the way, Simon will be here later on this week. Okay. He returned from Colombia on the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So far you got the lawnmower, you got the Weed Whacker, the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, the Magic Mat, and you got the travel bag. But no, there's still more. You get the Manscaped Boxer Briefs. And if you've ever worn these these things are comfortable. Guess what?
I have a pair.
All right. You get all of that stuff. Use our code. You get free shipping. All in, $99.99.
That's it? $99.99? And
$99.99. You get all of this stuff if you use our code 5RSN. And that includes shipping.
That includes it. So that's what that's the 25% discount or whatever. And free shipping.
Yeah, if you buy this package. Now, if you buy all these things individually, you would get up to $200. It would cost you $200. So
$200.
Yeah. Wow. So if you want to test this, go on their website and buy all of these things individually. It will cost you $200.
That's like us putting more than $100 in your pocket.
Exactly. So buy the package, get all these things, use our code. And of course, you get free shipping, $99.99, 5RSN. We are also brought to you by Better Edge. Okay. BetterEdge.com/5reasons. And you get a $20 sign up bonus. Some of you may want to, you know, bet Skylar Thompson to win the NFL MVP on there. And I guess we'll start there because we do have a lot to talk about, by the way, because we had like an hour debate on OnlyFans, which you can also join for $3 a month. On Austin Jackson, I say he was average. You say he was bad, but we'll get to that. But we got to start with Skylar Thompson. What are we doing with this guy, Chris? We're rostering him, obviously, aren't we?
No, not necessarily. I say that, you know, he had a nice day for his first preseason game. He's a rookie, and they clearly coach him pretty well in the system, and he performed pretty well. But let's keep in mind just a year ago they risked the great Reed Sinnott,
who's still great, by the way.
Who's still great. They risked him by cutting him and putting him through waivers and, you know, to try and get him on the practice squad, and it didn't work out. You know, the Eagles snatched him up, and Dolphins, you know, they didn't seem too much worse for the wear. And so they moved on, and now they have Skylar Thompson, and he performed pretty well in this first game. So they could risk him just like they did Reed Sinnott. And I know a lot of people, I think that like we tend to be really just very extreme in our, the way that we form these opinions and fire off these hot takes and stuff like that. Like, you know, oh, there's no way they could risk the great Skylar Thompson now. But the reality is they could, and they, you know, as of right now, I'd say that they probably will. So we'll see what happens with the rest of preseason, but I don't know that teams are going to be falling over themselves for Skylar Thompson, considering, you know, we just got a crop of rookies out there, and teams often have their own guys, they like their own guys, and so we'll see. I just don't want anybody to get like extend themselves too far on what just happened with this game with Skylar Thompson's performance. He did all right. He looked better than some of the rookies out there in their first performance. Some of the guys that were drafted higher, frankly, he looked better. I don't really have a lot of respect for the QB slate that Miami's going to face this year. Outside of, you know, half a dozen guys, And so I think that legitimately there will be some quarterbacks that we face this year playing NFL regular season games against us who are probably worse than what Skylar Thompson showed.
Yeah.
But that's a separate issue though. That's, you know, I just heard the Jets say, you know, Robert Saleh say that we think we have three starting quarterbacks with Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, and Mike White. And I'm like, really, really?
Well, you know, he can be delicate. He can be delicate and say, you know, oh, you know, he's our starting quarterback. We're going to miss him, this and that. But we think Joe Flacco can do the job. But, you know, he's just pumping sunshine.
Think about the delusion that goes into a statement like that. And then think about the rest of the league, and the rest of the league are often like this as well. So they're like, you know, Skylar Thompson, what we're going to bump Mike White for Skylar Thompson, you know, I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and so I think that might not be fair to Mike White. Even some people would say, because once upon a time he threw for 400 yards in a game,
yes,
but still, like, yeah, it might not be what everybody thinks it is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that what a lot of fans have, and they have it dancing in their heads, and I'll admit it, I'm thinking about it as well, is trying to save that Teddy money next year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course.
And using it on a player. Because if you think about it, like, what can you buy for $8 million? I think you could get an impactful linebacker. You get an impactful rotational defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. You probably get a decent tackle, not a great one, but a decent tackle. You could definitely get a really good wide receiver. So, like, you know, you're thinking about, you know, what can you use that $8 million? You can't get a great top line corner anymore for $8 million, which is saying a lot.
Oh, God, no. $8 million is buying you less than I think you might be thinking anymore in today's NFL. You say like a very good wide receiver, but who are we talking about? Like
Cedric Wilson. Like you can get Cedric Wilson.
Maybe Cedric Wilson, but you know, Cedric Wilson was number four in Dallas, and he's number three in Miami. Very good. We have to define that as, you know, you could buy a third wide receiver, a number three wide receiver.
You can get a contributor.
Yeah, you can get a contributor. There you go. You can get a contributor for $8 million, or you can have a valid backup quarterback for the guy who once almost ended his career with a broken hip.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Did you begin to get, like, my drift when I said last week that I thought, because we're going to talk right now about what the offense kind of looked like, although it was vanilla. Like, let's face it, it was vanilla.
Very.
Could you get my drift when I said last week that I think that Tua will lead the league in passer rating out of play action? Because I don't have the number in front of me. Skylar Thompson had to have had almost a perfect number, because I know three shot plays he completed right off the bat off of play action. Like, it seemed to be, it's a feature on this offense. Like, they're going to throw the ball out of play action, even on first down.
But they're going to do it a lot. They're going to do it a lot.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the one thing to keep in mind is a lot of these play actions, and especially in the outside zone system or wide zone system, these play actions are really boots. You know, and those boots really shut down half the field, and sometimes the guy is just going to have to end up taking the short money on that, and or throwing it away. Or, you know what I mean? So especially once the defenses start to catch on to it a little bit. So, so we'll see. We're still yet to see how well that's going to work. Cause it's not all going to be like, you know, big play action passes, max protect, and then going deep down, like we saw in that 65 yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill in training camp. It's not all going to be that. So it still remains to be seen. It is going to be play action heavy, whereas last year I think was more RPO heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got to implement some sort of RPO in there, which would, it would seem like a missed opportunity if they just completely scrapped it. But there's going to be less than Miami had last year for sure. We'll see how it all works out. I'm trying not to read too much into vanilla play act or vanilla pass or sorry play calling in the first preseason game for Skylar Thompson. Keep in mind, like, you know, he might have been calling plays the Skylar Thompson runs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you do that. Like, even last year when the great Reed Sinnett was in the game, they were definitely calling a different offense for Reed Sinnett than they would for Tua Tagovailoa.
Mm-hmm. Odds that Reed Sinnott starts over Jalen Hurts.
Well, based on how Jalen Hurts performed, I would say not very high. But
well, to be fair, he was decapitated on the sideline. You know,
yeah. So
they got to find his head first before.
But
Did you see the sideline film? Not to get off the, you know, Bucks Dolphins, you know, but did you hear the like the sideline sound of that hit?
No, I didn't.
Nick Sirianni, if he had Salah in front of him, like we
would. Oh, wait. Nick Sirianni's like tirade.
Yes.
Anyone on? Oh, yes. Yes, I did hear that.
That was fun. It was uncalled for. Like, who is that clown? Like, I didn't even know who hit him. Who was the guy that got the hit?
I don't know.
Like, there's no way that guy's playing again.
I just saw Sirianni say, you know, Saleh, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
So, it's Quincy Williams. Sorry, Quincy Williams.
Wow.
There it
like,
is.
That's like that's crazy. Like that was an awful play. Like I don't remember a play like that in a long time. Quarterback's almost 3-4 yards out of bounds and gets blasted. And not only gets blasted, he gets blasted with the crown of the helmet.
Yep. Egregiously awful by Quincy.
Yeah. All right, since we're still in the offense, and trust me, we're going to go back to the defense. I think I have more to say about the defense than the offense in this game. Because let's face it, the engine of this offense, I think, is going to be those two wide receivers. And I think the proof is going to be when they start playing actual games. And I think those two wide receivers are going to be the catalyst for this offense.
Not that you're wrong on that, but I mean, it wasn't just them out. You know, it's like both Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert were out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Tua Tagovailoa is out, and Teron Armstead is out. The starting center, Connor Williams, is out,
and
out of the game. You know, I mean, it's just basically, it's not to call it to call it.
And Alec Ingold, who is
going to be the focal point of the offense, clearly. He was out. You know, it's worth saying. And but they didn't have any fullback in the game. I mean, they use some tight ends in some fullback like roles, but you know, to call it stripped down would be a total understatement. I think that what you saw out there was like the barest of the bare bones of what the offense is going to be run like. Did you even see much outside zone or wide zone?
No, and that's what I'm going to get to.
I'm not sure I saw any.
And that's going to be my question to you. I'm going to give credit, and I did give credit. I did a show today with Alex Dono, and I did give credit to Mike McDaniel on play calling, and it was for a very odd reason. I gave him credit for his play calling because they only had 11 called runs. Now, is that a bad thing? I don't think so. I think it had to do with the fronts that the Bucks were playing. For whatever reason, the Bucks were hell-bent on stopping the run in this game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were committing a lot of players to the box, and not only committing a lot of players, they were calling a lot of run blitzes and a lot of 2-by-1 blitzes. And like they were really conscious on, you know what, we want to fill gaps, and we want to stop the run in this game. And Mike McDaniel said, you know what, I'm not going to have this game turn into a clusterfuck. We're going to try to score points. And I think the only way we can do that is by throwing the football here. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And they did effectively to get enough points to win the game. So I'm going to give credit to Mike McDaniel. What do you think?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, he gave himself a C for the play calling. Obviously there were some things that he didn't end up liking about how the game proceeded and handling the different roles that he has now that he's a head coach as well as the play caller. And so I think that he's going to end up feeling like he had some things to clean up. And I, you know, yeah, they didn't force the run, but at the same time, like, you know, what did they score? 19 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not what we're expecting. No. So, and yeah, I get it. Like, you know, Jalen Waddle and all those guys were out, but you know, hey, who played on the Bucks too? Mm-hmm. Who played on that defense? You know,
yeah, I'm gonna say the same thing I've said every single year on this podcast, and it still hasn't happened, by the way. Okay, which is I want the offense to average 3 touchdowns per game.
Yeah.
And if they average 3 touchdowns per game, you're going to be in that sweet spot of 24, 25, 26 points per game, which makes you an 11, 12 win team, maybe.
Yeah.
If your defense is any good.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. You know, they should be aiming to average that 3 touchdowns, if not more,
mm-hmm.
If not 4, you know. And I think that they're clearly not there on what they did in this preseason game.
No.
At least not with the backups versus the backups. So for that, you know, I just don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
All right. Now, moving off of the offense, if you have anything to add on Lynn Bowden and the wide receiver core, go ahead. I thought Trent Sherfield, that was a nice route that he ran.
Lynn Bowden ran a nice route.
Yes, he did. That double move, that was very nice.
That double move. I didn't. You couldn't see it on camera until you get to the all-22. But that double move was pretty gnarly, and that's why he was so open in the end zone for that touchdown. So that's credit to him on that. I thought the other catch, you know, is almost uncovered, really.
Mm-hmm.
But and then they tried to.
It was a bad throw.
You think that was a bad throw?
Yeah, man. You got to lead him and give him a chance to outrun that safety to the corner and try to score with it.
For that particular play action, with the, you know, the way the backfield, I didn't think it was terrible. I think that they did try to find him in the end zone with like a fade, and he didn't really execute on that one.
No, he didn't.
So. You know, he made plays, and he's going to be happy with that, especially with that one, the double move in the end zone to get the touchdown. But obviously, you know, he didn't do the job yet, like, of making in the roster. He's got more.
All right, now we got to move on to the defense, because I have a lot to say about the defense. I'll start with first, and trust me, we're gonna get to Trill Williams' replacement, Mackenzie Alexander, at the end of this podcast. Because that is news today. They signed Mackenzie Alexander, seemingly to compete for the fourth cornerback spot with Noah Igbinoghene and Kean Crossen, which I would say Kean Crossen has a pretty substantial leg up on that battle. But I'll start here. Sam Egwuban is not a Phil linebacker. He just gets run over. Like he doesn't tackle with any oomph, any power.
Yeah, for a guy that blitzes well, he doesn't have that same aggressiveness in the run game.
Yeah, so people were asking, you know, oh, he looks bad, and you know, well, I don't think that's his position. I think this is a good football player, and especially a really good special teams player. He's obviously an NFL player, but I think he's miscast. Like Phil linebackers on this team. Maybe Duke Riley, although I have my doubts. I think it's Landon Roberts and Calvin Munson, and that's a wrap. Those are the only two guys.
That's probably the only two.
Yeah. So I'll start there with the linebackers. Channing Tindall, he had a great grade, you know, whatever that means on PFF. I watched the game. I thought he did fine. Like his film is pretty nice on a couple of snaps.
Was
he really impactful?
No, not at all. It was fine, really. He's, you know, I'm not picking the guy apart at all. I mean, although for you know, the plays that he did like well in terms of like he had something challenging to do and he did it, were few and far between. There's, you know, maybe one or two. But he also made mistakes out there too. He was not above that. And so I thought he did fine. I thought, you know, a lot of what was catching people's eye, and this is, you know, one play in particular where he turned back up the field and helped chase down the wide receiver Geiger after he got the ball and turned up the field. You know, you see the speed, and I think when you see the speed and see how his athleticism, you're like, oh boy, you know, that's it's impressive, and it is, and that's why he's here. But you know, it was fine. But I think this whole thing of like grading him high, like on PFF, and I have issues with it. I know Simon goes off on the rants about PFF, yes. But and so without him here, maybe I just got to fill in for him. But I think that this is the issue with PFF is that it's given everybody, the fans and everybody, another excuse to do what they all love doing, which is to scout on paper.
Yes.
You know, to evaluate football on paper and not really on the field. Because on the field, it's too complicated. There's too many things going on. It's too hard to tell what a guy should be doing. It's too hard to see, you know, to account for all of the factors. People like to make their judgments based on as few factors as possible. That's human nature.
I think you had a great point. Those color, that color scheme, man, that thing works, man. I wish I would.
Well, that it does. Like, you know, and so, well, they're selling. The PFF is selling. They're selling a product. So
we should have came up with this thing like 15 years ago.
So you give people a number.
And a color. And a color.
And a color. And a color. And a color on top of it. And it's like, ooh, you know, pretty.
It's blue, man. And my guy's blue.
Did you see how big that number was? You know, and so like you're giving people the ability to evaluate and judge things based on very little information, what they want to do.
Yeah.
It's human nature. Into some of the worst and easiest parts of our human nature, I think. and so when you see the big number, you see that big, that it's like, oh my God, he was a difference maker in this game. He was not a difference maker.
No,
he was not. He was just kind of there. And that's fine.
Yeah. That's fine. You know what I really like? You know what I really like?
The sombrero wasn't really on him.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine.
You know where he really made a difference? That special teams tackle on that kick.
Yeah. That was a good play.
Because he doesn't make that tackle. They had numbers.
He could go. There was one play in coverage. He backed out in the coverage. And then he really, sombrero was on him Paul Pasqualoni would say, old defensive coordinator for the Dolphins back when Channing Crowder was playing. You know, sombrero was on him and where he backed out into coverage and then they threw the ball underneath him. And, you know, he had to break down and get this guy down. And he did. It was a toe tackle, but, you know, he got him.
Yeah.
And that was good. There was another screenplay where, you know, he had to come down and fill and tackle the guy, but the guy ran right into him and he was the one that was unblocked by the blockers. So it wasn't really that hard. So I think that, you know, I think he made a nice play there. He made a really nice play in special teams, which you talked about. And then it was just his speed was just something that pops out at the eye. But otherwise, I mean, it's okay. It was okay. Elijah Campbell had a much better game. Elijah Campbell, the safety, had a much better game, you know, on defense. And there were some defensive linemen I thought that had a better game and that had better games as well. Keon Crossan had a big boy play, you know, in deep coverage. Yes. So, you know, these are things that, you know, impact plays as far as, in, you know, Darius Hodge, that pass rush where he forced the fumble. Big impact play. The game, the plays that win games, you know. Did we get any of those out of Channing Tindall? And I've seen some people being like, oh, I beg to differ. You know, he just being in the right spot is, you know, impacts the game so much. I'm like, I get the fuck out of here. I mean, because, you know, the reality is football is your number just doesn't always get called. You know, and it's not necessarily because you were in the right spot, so you scared him off it. You know, that's not true. That's not true. So I think that he was fine. He was fine. I'm not gonna get down on him at all. I'm just like, y'all are running away with yourselves because of a big number and a pretty color. And we love to do this linear thinking and this paper scouting. And that's not really what happened on the football field.
Yeah. And now moving on and you mentioned him. I thought Darius Hodge and Ben Still were the two, and I think it is Ben Still, by the way. I think they were the two bright spots. And you could throw in a little Benito Jones in there. I don't think he was bad. I think he was all right.
I thought Porter Gustin who got a terrible PFF grade for whatever reason.
Yeah, he caused the turnover. He's the one who put the clock in Kyle Trask, who's absolutely, by the way, Kyle Trask is absolutely awful. He's bad.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, they were singing his praises. I had the Bucks, feed, obviously. Yes. They were singing his praises so much. And I'm like,
he's terrible.
Dude, he just basically threw the game at the end of the first half.
they're actually coming after me to hit me. Like, what is
this? I mean, seriously. But Porter Gustin, you know what you have to appreciate about Porter Gustin is, and this is something that goes back to who he was coming out of college, coming out of USC, is he was unusually strong, right? Unusually strong. And if you know his history too, he's like, to call him a gym rat is probably understating it. He would be like a bodybuilder type if he wasn't a football player. But he was unusually strong on the football field. It showed up on the football field coming out of USC. And he shows that in Miami with the Dolphins to the degree that they made him a 3-4 or 34 defensive end for much of the game. You know, and then switched him out to outside linebacker to more of a wider rush where he made the play that you're talking about with Kyle Trask. And so to be able to do a nice passable job in both of those roles, that's like coach porn, you know. Yes. Like they're dreaming about that tonight. You know, that's why I say I think he might make the roster. You know, I think he's going to make the roster. And so everybody's like talking about the numbers game, and I realize there is a numbers game and it's very valid. But, you know, when I see that, as for Ben Still, they might try and hide him on the practice squad still. But he did have a game and he played all three positions on the defensive line. And so again, you know, that's like coach porn. And when he can switch between nose tackle and defensive end. And he makes an impact with his play strength. And also he's a plus athlete. He's a really plus athlete. So he did a good job. And Darius Hodge, I paid some attention to him. He had that remarkable play with the forced fumble, but he also had, you know, some issues at times out there. So I'm still a little bit on the fence with him just because he's so undersized. And you know, there's that big play. It's like, I don't know, the coaches love the dude that comes up with a big play and then, you know, disappears for three plays. You know what I mean? That's not coach porn.
Yes.
So he's still a little bit on the fence about him.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a little credit here to this coaching staff. They found Ben Still, and you know, I hate to get ahead of myself because I thought that Adam Butler was a really, really impactful player last year. He did his job. He was a good football player for this team last year. I think they adequately replaced him if this guy is anything like what he's shown so far.
Well, big, you know, I hate to get ahead of ourselves because this was the Bucks, you know, what, third strings and stuff and second strings, third strings and whatnot, you know. And but he did remind me of watching the way he interacted with the offensive lineman out there, reminded me of watching Zach Sealer in his very first snaps of the Miami Dolphins in 2019 against the New York Giants, and the way that he was, you know, really beating up on offensive linemen out there. Now, granted, Zach Sealer was doing that against Giants first stringers in a real game. And this was against the Bucks, you know, backups. So we got to see, but I'm intrigued. I like how he moves. I like the intensity he's bringing. I like the play strength he's bringing. And so he's got a good package going. And I think that it's interesting because I've watched some of them at Nebraska and, you know, it's okay. I wonder if he's one of these guys that kind of that found himself in terms of his workout regime, you know, nutrition, all that stuff. Some guys find themselves a little bit more during that pre-draft process where they're really getting ready for the NFL. Cam Wake was nothing like he ended up being when he was coming out of Penn State, you know, in terms of how he took care of his body and how he worked out and stuff like that. So I'm curious on in that way. Maybe he is a guy like that. Who knows? But Elijah Campbell, though.
Yes. Elijah Campbell. Yes. And not only that, did you catch Mike McDaniel on the sidelines? Like, he got a real kick out of what Elijah McDaniel was doing, especially after he made his third play almost in a row. Yeah. And you could see Mike McDaniel almost mouthing the word, was it him again? And you see him. One thing I like about Mike McDaniel, his animations on the sideline, how animated he is. And by the way, did you see Tua Tagovailoa give him a big old bear hug as soon as the game was over?
Yep, I saw.
Not to harp on this, but is there any chance in hell you would ever seen Tua Tagovailoa give a bear hug to Brian Flores?
No, there's a greater chance he would have punched Brian Flores.
Yes, but I got a real kick out of Mike McDaniel because I was more interested in watching Mike McDaniel on the sidelines, right? And by the way, very curious choice not to go for two on two spots where it was kind of obvious, like, yeah, you kind of should go for two. Yeah. You know, like, why would you want to go up six when you could go up seven? You know what I mean? Why would you want to be down six when you could be down? I mean, why would you want to be down seven when you could be down six or whatever the hell it was? But there was
two whatever spots. The math works out.
Yeah. However the math was, there was two spots that the book says you could reasonably go for two and not be a problem. There was one that was obvious, like the first one, and he chose not to. And it was immediate. Like, he was like, nah, we're not running it. So obviously he was keeping 2-point plays in his pocket, which kind of makes sense because they do some tricky stuff down in the goal line, especially after that Thursday, which was a snuff film against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially in the goal line. Because I had one guy, I was talking to one media member, and the media member told me, and this was on Thursday, I'm not going to reveal who this was, but he told me, this is the goal line. They're running plays from the 6-yard line. You're supposed to score. And I told him, 11 times? You know, like, I don't think you're supposed to score 11 touchdowns here. All right, like, you should be able to get stopped once, right?
Sure.
First and goal from the 6, like, you should eventually be stopped. But no, it was all touchdowns, one after the other. So and it did show some chops, some end arounds, some screens that we did not see, and I guess they didn't want to show for, you know, as far as their 2-point offense. But I was watching Mike McDaniel, and yeah, he got a kick out of that. Elijah Campbell, wow, 3 big plays, almost back-to-back. Like, that was impactful. They're deep at safety, I think.
Well, they're looking deep now.
Yes.
Because I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about what
to expect. No, but I'm throwing Burrow McKinley in there.
He had a solid game. You're right.
He had a solid game, and I liked where he was. Like, they tried some shots, and he was there. He was Johnny on the spot. You know, he's, you know, I love to see something like that when, you know, no bad angles, don't allow anything, you know, be the last guy back there, give yourself a chance to make a play. Bro McKinley, I thought, was fine too. That gives you two good safeties that don't figure to start many games if at all. And if they do,
well, and it makes you wonder because you know, Eric Rowe, he's got a history as a corner. So, you know, now that they're down a corner in Trill Williams, and that sucked to see his injury, but
although they were asked that, and I think he was asked that, and Mike McDaniel kind of said, you know, like, he danced around it, like, he didn't want to give an answer on, maybe that's not his department is what I'm thinking. Maybe he wants to leave that for Josh Boyer to answer, right?
Yeah, right.
You know,
but they replaced him with Mac Alexander. It's funny, you're like, like we'll get to Mac Alexander, but honestly, I don't have anything to say on him.
Yeah. Yeah,
Simon, when we signed him, Simon said, I think his the best, you know, the last great game he played was in college.
Well, actually, the last great game that he played was against the Dolphins, where he had a sack and he had two PBUs. And I actually looked it up, and I posted on OnlyFans, I posted a highlight video of Mackenzie Alexander. Most of the plays in there are from that game against the Dolphins, and Ryan Tannehill, of course. So he had Ryan Tannehill pretty well figured out, pretty well scouted in that game. So he has some chops, you know. He's had some games, he has some experience, dude. You know, I told a lot of fans this online. If you're worried about CB4, then you got more problems than most. You know what I mean?
Well, he's not going to be CB4. I think at this point with
Keon Crossen
is probably got a lockdown on that. I'll just be honest.
Yeah. All right. Let's call it right there, because the next time that we talk to you, we're going to be talking about a game that should be the dress rehearsal. We should be seeing first teamers and second teamers, because this week they're going Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday doing prep for a game on Saturday against the Las Vegas Raiders. We will talk to you later this week, probably on Thursday. See you then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.